brother, sister Martha, brother Jack, keep them in your prayers. Sharon, Betty Jean, keep them in prayers. And, who else? Sister Judy Gray.
She's online.
Yeah. I've already talked with Sister Judy. I know she wants to keep them in.
It's been a good weekend, but it's been a busy weekend, and I can feel the effects of traveling down to Canonsburg, Kentucky. We went down on Friday and enjoyed a good song service at Canonsburg Church there on Friday night. Just an informal gathering of the brethren that got there at that little church, and we had a big meal at Bob Evans beforehand, and then went over to the church and I think we had about an hour, a little more, song service. Brother Terry and Brother Junie Carpenter and Brother Mike, Brother Jimmy and myself all went down. Stayed over at a Holiday Inn that they were, I think they were building it the way it looked. They were renovating it. But we went in and I thought, my, are we going to stay here or are they going to send us to another place? Well, we walked through construction and everything else, but we got through all of that. And then services yesterday, where many of you were on, some of you were online anyway, and it was just a good meeting, a good time. We got to see Brother Eddie Lyle, who's, you know, in his 90s now. And Brother Eddie, at one point during the song service, he looked at everybody and he says, if all of you are feeling as good as I am, you're doing okay. And you're doing all right. You're feeling really good, he said. He just was lifted up. And, it was a delight to be with that dear brother and all the others, Brother Joe Miller and Brother Eddie Lester and all the different elders that we were blessed to be with. Went all that way to hear a lot of our home brethren. Yeah. We heard Brother Forrest and Brother John, and the brethren in the car said we got to hear all our home brethren went all this way to hear our old brethren we hear up here all the time. So, I think everybody was blessed in the meeting and blessed in the trip, blessed in the travel. And even though they had to put up with my driving, it seemed to be okay with that. And it was a blessing. So please pray for me this morning. I said all that just to say that I seem like my mind's in a lot of different places. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. I'd like to be focused today as much as I can for your benefit. That you might be edified and fed by the Word of God. And I know the Word of God's given for our edification. I know that it's God's inspired Word. Can't tell you enough how important it is that you read and study it. Be faithful in that as much as you can. Sometimes we read and don't seem to gain as much out of it as we do at other times. But when the Lord lightens it up and we're able to see it, there's so much of value. Really all the valuable things that you need to know found in the Word of God. The other stuff is just superficial, and it's temporal, it's just for here. And not that there aren't some things to know, but the most important things will be found between the pages of God's Word. And the Spirit of Almighty God is, we've been anointed by God's grace. We've been anointed from above if we're born of the Spirit of God. The Bible speaks of it as we've been given an unction. That word means an anointing that enlightens us to be enabled to understand spiritual things that you could not understand otherwise. And the depths of that are unsearchable, so that no matter how far along you've grown in your understanding of God's Word, you never really cease to be a little babe that ought to be desiring the sincere milk of the word so that you can grow some more, get closer to him. And no matter how close you feel that you might have gotten to him, none of us until the day of the resurrection have yet arrived to that place we're going to be by God's grace, when we'll be made completely like him, body, soul, and spirit, and we'll not have to fight this fight anymore of putting the old man off, but we'll all together be like unto him. And that's awaiting us in glory. That's sure for every little child of grace. It's just something that we ought to say in every meeting, that salvation is by God's grace and his grace alone, and that through the work of Almighty God, we have a home awaiting us, an inheritance, that the Bible says it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it's reserved in heaven for you. Got down there to those rooms, and even though the place was a mess, the rooms weren't ready. You know, you would think when you only have about half the rooms that you keep those ready, but we got there and we had to wait for a little while for one of the rooms. And then when we got in that room, air conditioning didn't work in that room. Of course, that was the one I was in, so you know, we had to have a change of plans right then. Things got pretty urgent. When we get home to glory, we won't have to worry about our reservation not being ready, or God being not aware of our arrival, or when he comes, he missing one of us, or he lose out on any part of us. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. And that's your soul and your spirit, even when your body is here. So your loved ones, those of you who have lost your dear mothers and fathers, and we've all lost our grandparents and those dear ones around us, or, you know, and those that we love so much, they're not gone. Those that we loved in the Lord, for them to be absent from the body, they're present with the Lord. That gives me a great deal of comfort this morning. I hope it does you. And what they're enjoying in heaven now is perfection. They're in the presence of the Lord. There's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more sadness. They're not looking down here, seeing all the things that are going on wrong and being worried to death like so many people think. They're seeing this or seeing that. And I really don't have a clue how much they see or don't see. I don't think the Bible speaks to that so much. But it does tell me that whatever they see it in the perfection of the Lord who's in power, so that they're not troubled by it. And they know what he's doing and everything that he's doing. So whatever they know how he's overruling. Isn't that good? The scripture that says, for all things work together for them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God. Now, that doesn't mean every action and behavior that we do in this world is for our good, as some men misinterpret that. But what it does mean is that the overruling power of God that's in control, everything that God does and how he intervenes, even when you and I are going the wrong way, God's working in the right way and bringing about, as he did for Joseph and as he did throughout the Old Testament, when men meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And he suffers things to be. That doesn't mean he causes them to be. We're not to make God chargeable with sin, because he is not. God is holy and righteous and just and cannot sin and will not sin. But know this, God is on his throne. And according as his divine power hath given unto us everything, that all things that pertain to life and godliness. And what I want to say to you this morning is that all those things that God does, they work together for your good. Right on the right time that he does them, when he does them, how he does them, as he pleases to do them, they're always in the best interest of the Lord's people, which are his children, even when the Lord's people don't understand them, even when you and I go kicking and murmuring and complaining against them. God's mighty hand is, he's on his throne, and he's the sovereign God of heaven. He has all power, he has all knowledge, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, and he's omnipresent. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. We've got a great God, don't we? And if we think about that, and rest in that today, you'll find a great deal of comfort. Our eternal home is secure in that work that Jesus did, that the Lord purposed to have done, the Father, before the very foundation of the world. He foreknew his people. He foreloved them. They were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. He loved them. They were chosen in him. And they were predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And all of them that he predestinated will be called effectually by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where you get that unction. That's where you get that anointing. That's where you get that Spirit that's in you. That Spirit that's in you is the Holy Spirit. He's taken up his abode in your heart. You've been born of God. Now, someone would say, how can I know whether I'm born of God or not? It's not through some confession out of your mouth or some action or behavior on your part. It's the work of grace where the wind of God's grace blows in your life, and then the fruit of the Spirit comes in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit works in your life, he brings forth fruit, and that fruit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. That ninefold fruit of the Spirit, and it's not fruits, it's fruit. It comes from the Lord. It's all of his fruit. That is what prepares you and me for living here in this world. And it's not a life without purpose. It's not a life without focus. It's a life that's been given to us by the grace of God so that you and I, from the time that we're born again of the Spirit of God until the time that we die, where our soul and spirit leave this world and go home to be with the Lord, or until the Lord comes again and gets us, our life is to be about every day, not just Sunday, not just Wednesday night, not just when we're at the house of God or gathering with the Lord's people or riding in the van going down the road to a church meeting or coming home, but every day, 24/7, as we live our lives are to be focused on honoring and glorifying God. None of us attain to the fullness of that, but we ought to be growing. We ought to be aiming towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. We ought to be apprehending him as he has apprehended us. And that word simply means we ought to lay hold on to him just as much as we can, because he's laid hold on to us. We are his prisoner. He led captivity captive. And he gave us gifts. And every one of you have a gift that God has given you. And he gave it according to the measure of Christ. That means what God saw fit to give you, he gave you. He didn't give us all the same gift. He didn't give us all the same amount of that gift. He gave it according to his pleasure and for his purpose. Just like every part of your body, every member of your body, whether it's the little finger or the big toe or the little toe, if you think it's not important, lose it. And you'll find out that meant a lot more to me than I thought. Knees mean a lot, don't they? And how many times did I take mine for granted, doing things that I should not have done, that many men even at the time told me, you keep doing that, you're going to have problems, and I get out of my way. I need to move this wherever it's going to go, and I'll just pick it up and grab it and go. And if I need to jump off a 6-foot, a 5-foot deck and land on the ground with it on my back, I think nothing of that. It's not going to bother me, and here I am limping along. They give you a new knee, but it isn't like the old knee. I'm thankful for it, but it's not ever going to be like it was now. One day it'll be. It'll be better than it ever was. And that's because of a God who has given us life. And he gave us life not because we deserved it, not because we earned it, not because we did the right thing, not because we followed him. Because if he'd have left us where we were, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. When God goes for his little children from the quarry of this earth to make out those are hewn stones that he's going to place in his temple and in his house, and he corners them, and he works on them, and he changes them. He goes to that same old solid, that old quarry of man, which we were children of wrath just as others. He went to where we were, and we were in a state of death, in trespasses, and in sins. And he's worked on you. He's made you different. He's given you a hunger for things you would have never hungered for. He's given you an interest for things you would have never been interested in. He gave you the ability to forgive one another, even though your old nature doesn't want to do that. Mine doesn't either. He gave us the ability to do that. He gave us a hunger for his word, that we might want to know more about it. He gave you a hunger that would cause men to drive 5.5 hours down to a little church where there's about the same amount as we have here today that have gathered right here and sat there all day long, listened to, I think it was, five, six preachers that morning, and then get in the van and regret we have to leave and talk about the Lord all the way back up the road. Kind of have preaching, just the way I got to hear because they were doing a lot of the talking, you know. They got going there a couple times. I just said, this is good. And I loved it. And we would get off track every once in a while, you know, like everybody else. Next thing you know, we start bringing in some things of this. A little politics here, a little question here, a little silly conversation here. And the next thing you know, you could feel the tension building in the van. You ever been in a place where the tension started building up? You know, Ben, it can build up even in a church house among brethren. If we're not careful, if we don't keep in mind that I'm not always guaranteed to walk in the Spirit, that I have the flesh still here to contend with, that I have a fight, as the Bible says, to fight the good fight of faith. I have that to fight every day. And if I allow room and space, the devil will move right in and sit down. And you give him place, he'll sit down. And if you don't, and we blame some things on him that really come out of our nature, that we don't really need any help with, in a sense. He comes in and helps that. But we have a nature that's prone to wander, that's bent for backsliding. And we've got to bring that old man, that old woman, if you will. Think of Sister Betty Yell every time I say old woman. She used to say, you call me an old woman today. I'm not saying that. Be careful with that. We have that old nature to contend with, don't we? Keep it under subjection. Brethren, guard yourself. And guard, and may we guard our hearts when we're at the house of God, to keep my mind on the love of God, on the mercy of God, on the grace of God, on the Spirit of God that has anointed me. Just like Aaron was anointed from the top of his head down to the border of his garments, he was anointed with that holy anointing oil for a purpose. That was that he might serve as the high priest and his son serve as a high priest under the old law covenant to offer up sacrifices there that were acceptable unto God. He had to have that holy anointing oil put on him. Now, do we have that anointing oil? I say we do. I say the Lord's been good to us. I say that he's quickened us. I say that he's given us a hunger for things we would not have had. I say that he's given us a love so I can love you, dear brother, and you can love me in return, that I can forgive you and you can forgive me. I can not only forgive you, but I can forget. Isn't it good to not only forgive? If you don't really forget, you really haven't forgiven. You know, and it's not easy, is it, to forget? I remember when this one did this. I remember when that one did that. I can remember. And when they do one other thing, I'll bring up everything they ever did. Y'all ever do that? I remember. I didn't really think I could trust them that much anyway. You know what the Lord told me to do? Is to love his people as he has loved me. as he has loved us. Under the old law, it says to love your neighbor as yourself, right? We're to love your neighbor as thyself. He says, a new commandment I give unto you. Not a new commandment in that love's a new commandment. That was in the Old Testament. That's laid out throughout the Old Testament. But it's new in the sense, it's no longer in the deadness of the letter, but it's in the liveness, the newness of the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us that has given us the gift of love, where you and I are able to love one another. Number one, we love God above all things. We're to love Him first. And He loves us. And if we love Him, it's why? Is it because we chose to love Him and then He loves us? No, we love the Lord. Why? Because He first loved us. And then He gives us love. He that is begotten of God loves them that are begotten of God. In other words, if God has born you again of the Spirit, He's given you love, you've been anointed with the Spirit, and in the Spirit is the grace of God. The love of God, he says in Romans 5, is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And He gives us that love to operate in. Now, can we get outside of that? When we get in the flesh, we are outside of it. When we lean on the arm of the flesh, we're outside of it. And when that comes in the van and we start talking about other things, the next thing you know, you can see tension and feel all kinds of things and division and all kinds of things, and it can blow up real quick. That's why we're supposed to do what? Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. We're to do that by the grace of Almighty God, through the strength of God and the ability that God has given us, by and through His grace. And it's wonderful to know that the God who gave us that in a weak God or a little God, He gives us grace for grace. You need grace for grace. You need grace for heaven, but you need grace for here. You need grace to get you home to glory, but you need grace to get you through this meeting. You need grace to help you as we study and learn from His Word. And then you need grace to apply that Word to your life. And then as you face this old world, you're going right out in a world that will slap you right in the face. And what do we do when we get hit in the face? What are we supposed to do? We come back to His teachings. We come back to His Word. And we say, I'm going to build my house upon this rock. And I'm not going to go with any other shifting, sinking sand. And I'm going to trust in Him. In order to do that, you got to have faith. Where does faith come from? It comes from the Spirit that you're born again of. How can I show tenderness and gentleness when my nature is not to do that? That old Oots nature. And I wish Brother Junior was here, because I'd like to tell him there's a whole lot of carpenter in me as well that's right there. And it sure pops out. Grieves my heart. Some Sylvester in you. And all of us. When we go to our nature, when we go to what we are by nature, we are what? We have the sentence of death in ourselves. But when we look to the Lord, we have all that we need in order to walk in a way that He has called us to walk. We are to do what? We are called as a holy nation, as a chosen generation, as a peculiar people, we're called to shew forth the praises of Him that had called us out of nature's darkness and to His marvelous light. We've been made priests and kings unto God. We are a holy priesthood. That means we needed anointing. Y'all get that? You got to have some anointing in order to offer up the sacrifice. How can you offer up the sacrifice? You've got to be anointed with the holy anointing oil. Somebody says, how can I get that? Listen, if you're wanting it, you already got it. Because He has done that by His power. Now the challenge for us then is to walk in these things and hold on to them and lay hold on to eternal life as much as we can to find peace and rest and joy. We'll read Psalm 133 if you have the Bibles. Psalm 133. Three verses. He says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." That's what I'm seeing here today. I'm seeing brethren. I'm seeing my brothers and my sisters. I'm seeing those I dearly love. I'm seeing those that are the most closest to me on the face of the earth. You're my dear friends. When you weep, I weep. When you are happy, I'm happy. I love you. And I would not love you, and you would not love me if it was not for what the Lord did for us before the foundation of the world. And I always want to remember that and point to that, so that you and I will love one another when it ain't so easy to do. Because sometimes it isn't. In the Lord, it always is. There is division in families today, isn't there? There's certainly division in our land and nation, isn't there? There's division in the world around us. There's wars everywhere, rumors of wars. There's heartache. There's heartbreak. There are no answers in the world. I'm going to tell you that now. You can go to the world for those answers, and you're going after bread that won't feed you. You're going after that which will not satisfy. Why would you spend money for that which will not satisfy? Especially when you and I have the fountain of living waters when we're thirsty, the bread of life when we're hungry, the light of the world when we're in the dark, and all the wisdom that has ever been on the planet in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can look to and find peace and rest even in the midst of the storm. I'm saying to you, He's real. And I believe you know that. He says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment." I want to remind you to read over, as you probably already know, but there in Exodus chapter 30, we have the information there given to us about that oil, how that was given especially to Aaron and to his sons in order to be anointed. It was a holy anointing oil, and it was to be applied unto them. And what it did was it set them apart. It set them apart for the service that they were about to do in order to offer up sacrifices acceptable unto God. There's a whole lot of that. I don't understand why it was just this amount and that amount, but it was clearly, specifically, it's just like God everything God has ever done is not just done haphazardly or any old way, but it's laid out orderly, precisely, in precision. We were talking about it yesterday. You even talk about God's creation. At one time, men would think, well, I get down to the bottom of it and I look into the depths of it and I'll get down to where it's simple and then I'll be able to understand how God did everything that He did. So I get me a good microscope and I start looking at something and I try to find out what it's made of. And then I get another microscope that's bigger and better and I find out what that's made of. And then I keep going, and once I get there to the simple basics, we'll figure out what everything is. You know what man found out? Is when I get down there, it's more complicated than when I was looking at it up here. At least there's more that I don't know when I get there. And then I get something else and I get a little better and I think I got it figured out. I get down there and it's even more complicated. All you have to do is blow up the things that God has made and you'll see, boy, that's intricately designed. When God made this oil, He said, "You make it this way, you're to do it this way, and it's the holy anointing oil, and you don't anoint strangers with this. You anoint those that are set aside to serve in the tabernacle, and you anoint the tabernacle, and the reason that you do that is because I'm setting it apart as a holy place. It's a special place. It's where I'm going to be worshipped, and this is how it's going to be acceptable unto me." You know how many of us could have come in here and made ourselves acceptable unto God today? Not one of us. You know why? Because we've all, what? Sinned. Aaron needed that anointing oil. You know why? Because Aaron had sinned. And that oil didn't really move anything from Aaron, but it did do something. It pictured, signified what the Holy Spirit does when it comes in the heart of a little child of God and brings him from a state of death to a state of life and makes him fit to then offer up praises unto God. It puts a new song in your mouth. It puts a new... It's what makes an old elder stand up and say, if y'all are all feeling like me, you're really feeling good. He's a 90-year-old brother that a year ago I thought I'd probably never see again. And he looked better. And I heard from Brother Joe that he preached about 10 minutes that afternoon. And he said, I don't think I've ever heard him preach in more power. He said, it's just... You know what did that? You think Brother Eddie did that? I'm going to tell you what did it. The Spirit of Almighty God moved in him. He who would be dead in sins was made alive and made a blessing to the Lord's people and offer a praise that was in the sight of God, pleasing and acceptable. Why? Because he was anointed with that holy anointing oil. I'm telling you, we need the Spirit when we meet. We need the Spirit in our preaching. We need the Spirit in our singing. And if we leave the Spirit out, we've left the oil out. It's not that we anoint ourselves, but we need that anointing. May we pray. Just like we do, brethren, we've met to worship, and all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And when he comes down, he'll make a bunch of people that would have had a fight in a van be happy to ride together down the road. He would cause this little group here at Happy Creek this morning to want to be here, to be happy to be here, to be thankful to be here, to feel to be blessed to be here, to feel forgiven, to be able to forgive one another, to be able to love one another, to be able to be here, not just showing up bodily or physically, but to be in the Spirit, praising and honoring, glorifying God, to where we say together, I hope we can all say it together, behold. That word behold simply means you pay attention and admire. In other words, don't just say, oh, I'm at church. Pay attention and admire whenever you have an opportunity to see God's little children that are dwelling together. First of all, they're brethren. We wouldn't be brethren if he hadn't made us. Psalm 100 verse 3. I hope y'all know now by now that I like that verse. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. And not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We wouldn't have brothers and sisters if the Lord hadn't made them. I'm sure thankful he made you. I'm thankful that you're my sister. I'm thankful that you're my brother. I'm thankful that we have a kinship in the Lord. I'm thankful that he's allowed me to have a love for you. And I feel that you love me. Like Brother Holly Redmond said a long time ago, if you don't love me, please don't tell me about it. I feel like you all love me. And if you don't, just let me stay in the dark about that. And that's the way I feel this morning. And if we have that one for another, you know why we have it? It isn't because we made ourselves that. It's because he has given us that life and that faith and that faith and that love and all that we have that's good and right. He says it's like the precious ointment that ran upon the head, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and that went down to the skirts of his garment. And then he pictures this, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew, get this, that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. The dew that comes on the mountains is that which comes from heaven that causes the grass to grow and the trees to grow and to blossom and to bloom and the fruit to grow. It brings forth fruit. And every blessing that you and I have in the Lord's house doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from down here. The wisdom we have doesn't come from down here. It comes from above. And as that comes down, and he's comparing this to when brethren get together and you dwell together in unity, that means we come together about the worship of God and the praise of God and looking to the Lord. And he says, and there, in these little settings, is where the Lord commands the blessing. That means there's something to get there. And that's why he said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And the only thing that, and what, I tell you, what keeps us united is not us getting together and voting on something. It's on us stopping what we think and our way and look to the Lord and His way and get our eyes on Him and His Word and what the Spirit of God in your heart is teaching you, because it's in your heart. You have an unction of the Spirit of God, and you have no need for any man to teach you, because you've been anointed by His Spirit. And and I don't mean that you can't learn from preaching. What I'm simply saying is we don't need other people to teach us outside of what's in the Word of God and what's laid down in God's Word. He said, let God be true and every man a what? A liar. And that's how we discern between what's right and what's wrong. You know what the world is really saying today? Nothing's wrong. Everything's right. And you know what the Bible says? There is clear right and wrong, and it's not going to change. And you and I are going to be divided when we go with the ideas of the world. But we'll be united when we take what God has said in His Word and by the Spirit of God apply it to our lives. And when we dwell together in unity, it's like the dew that comes down on the earth and brings forth the fruit. It's like the holy anointing oil that was put upon Aaron and all of God's children. Really, that oil was put on Christ first, because He was anointed with oil of gladness above all His fellows. And then it also came upon all of us. You know how we get any blessing? It comes through Christ. And He says, there the Lord commanded the blessing. That means when He commanded the blessing, He gave the promise of the blessing. And then He answered that with the answer of the blessing, even life forevermore. And I said to you today that the life you and I are living in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's eternal life. We're getting a little earnest of that right now while you're walking here in this world. If you want to know what heaven's going to be like, I believe it's going to be a whole lot like church. Somebody said, well, I don't know whether I want to go or not. Well, I hope that is not the way you feel, because I'll tell you what it is. It's where you get to sit, like little sister Mary did, Brother John said yesterday, at the feet of Jesus. You get to hear from His Word. And you get to hug your brothers or your sisters' necks and feel like you're hugging the Lord Jesus Christ. And you get the forgiveness, you get to feel in your heart the forgiveness of your sins, to where when the bad news comes, you say, that's okay, because the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, and I have everything I need in Him. I hope that's the way you feel today. If you do, behold how good and how pleasant. Notice He said, how good and how pleasant. I thought about this, I'll say it real quick and get out of the way. Some things are good and they're not pleasant. Some things are pleasant and they're not good. Pleasant means it gives pleasure. There are things that give pleasure. You can have the pleasure of the sin for a season, but it's not good and it won't be long lived. But this is good and it's pleasant. That means it's good in that it's God's commandment, and it's pleasant in that it's good for you. Isn't that good? I say it's a treasure hid in the field, don't you? Isn't that what it is? What should we do? Sell everything you got. Buy the field. You follow Him. And you'll not be sorry for it. Listen, and that treasure is nothing less than the Lord Jesus Christ and sweet fellowship with Him. And if you got that, you got all you need. And you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.